for you. So tonight, close your eyes, there's no more need to fight. Watch God provide. God provides. It's hard to say when there's no food to eat, or what you see feels all that life will be. And will this be another year of misery for me? But my faith can't survive on just things I see, and my feelings can't control my destiny. See, God, I only want what you believe for me. So tonight, close your eyes, there's no more need to fight. Ooh, watch God provide.
True, as we transition from that song by Tamela Mann, that God provides, and we thank God for doing just that. This is the time that we have right now for Standing in the Gap with Pastor Monica. I am Monica R. Hooks of Worship Worldwide Ministries Incorporated, here just for you to stand in the gap with you and for you as we take your live prayer requests and praise reports. Tonight, focus, we are focusing on when church hurts, when the people of God are hurt by the people of God. So we want you to give us a call with your own prayer requests, praise reports, and even any song selections that you like to hear. The number is 904-296-2251. That's 904-296-2251. And again, tonight's focus is when church hurts, and so we want to open up with prayer, asking you, dear Lord, just to be in the midst of everything that we do. Bless us where we are, in our cars, at work, coming from work, headed home, wherever we are, dear Lord. We just ask that you be with us in the midst of our day. As we proclaim your truth, Lord, we just ask that you help us all to hear it, that you help us to see how we can govern ourselves more appropriately concerning your word, as well as how to love others as well. Help us, dear God, to know more about you in an effort to learn more about the purpose you have given each of us individually as well as collectively. And in Jesus' name, we give you all the glory right now for what you have done, what you are doing, and what you shall do. And we all say amen. Amen. I want to open up with scripture for you. It is our main scripture for tonight as well, so it's perfect to even go ahead and start with this as our worship scripture. The Lord is my shepherd. The 23rd Psalm, which is very familiar to a lot of people. I know we hear that a lot of times. But the 23rd Psalm, we're just going to focus on the first part that says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." Might as well read the rest, right? "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Look at you. You knew that by heart, right? I know a lot of you did. Thank God for that word. So we're going to transition right now just to get us even more closely to God. We want to start with the song Without You, which is from the ministry of Anthony Brown and Group Therapy. And so we're going to start with that. The know that you can call. You cannot bother us. We do answer the phone off air. And you decide if you want to share what you have to share on air or off air. But again, the number is 904-296-2251. And anytime you listen to this and it's a rebroadcast, the alternate number is 904-624-9868. Okay? But right now, 904-296-2251. You can also connect with us online. Just live stream us by going to the website praise1079.com, praise1079.com. And there, if you go to the Stand in the Gap information as well, you'll see a place where you can add to this ministry. If there are donations, if God has blessed you in any way that you want to help us to do the things that we do here and that we do abroad as well. And there's also a place there where you can link up to us on Facebook, the Facebook page, Stand in the Gap. And there's also a place where you can email us your prayer request and praise report, sitgpastor@gmail.com. And there's also a place where you can link up through Facebook with the messenger. So text it in, get it in, email it in, just get involved with us, all right? Let's listen in to Without You by Anthony Brown and Group Therapy. You are listening to Standing in the Gap.
Hallelujah. Here's our hearts, Lord. Seal them.
Thank you. And I never wanna be without you. Hey. Oh, yes, I am. And I never wanna be this. There's love. Your love is better than life. And it keeps.
Hallelujah. You're listening to Anthony Brown and Group Therapy Without You, and this is Standing the Gap with Pastor Monica. Please give us a call with your prayer requests and your praise report, 904-296-2251, 904-296-2251. Definitely, it's absolutely 100% true. We never want to be without the Lord. I'll just speak for myself, right? But I think you feel the same way. This is Standing in the Gap with Pastor Monica here tonight, as we are every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday night from 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. just for you. Standing in between ministry and misery, in between wounds and worship, in between praise and pain. Sometimes we get to the ministry first and we realize there's some misery within that ministry, and so we want to pray you to and through the different things that God has planned for us. Tonight we focus on when church hurts, when church people are hurt by church people, are hurt by church leaders, are hurt by church pastors and bishops and priests and nuns, and are hurt by church rabbis or synagogue rabbis or whatever we want to call it, are hurt by each other. And so we're focusing on that tonight. The number for you to call in while we are focusing on this word, a little music, a little message, and a whole lot of prayer. It's 904-296-2251, 904-296-2251. We're coming from the first line in the 23rd Psalm, very familiar psalm. We just read it for our, recited it for our opening call to worship and prayer. And the 23rd Psalm that we hear a lot of times, you know, you've heard a lot of times at funerals and homegoings. I don't know how many homegoings and funerals and commemorations and memorials God has allowed me to do, but it's been a lot. I can't even fathom how many. I can't even come up with the count, seriously. And so I've heard it several times. It is a familiar passage. It's one of the favorites for a lot of people. And it is, "The Lord is my shepherd, And that's the only part we're going to focus on tonight. Any part of God's word is so full that we could preach that one pericope, that one line, for the rest of our lives. Seriously, if we open ourselves up to the revelations of God. So in the 23rd Psalm, the first line, "The Lord is my shepherd," is our focus for tonight as we talk about when church hurts. Because if the truth be told, there are a lot of times when we as church people are hurt by church people. So what, first of all, are we talking about the church? What is the church? I'm not talking about just the edifice. I'm not talking about just the building, right? The church is the body of Christ established as we see in the book of Acts. The church has nothing to do, however, with denominations and everything to do with the demonstrations of Christ. The church has nothing to do with religion, not really, but it has everything to do with relationship. The church has very little to do with local membership. That's an earthly human thing that we did. But it has everything to do with divine discipleship and being a member, a part of the body of Christ. Jesus, in allowing the church to be established, surely meant for us to have a focus on being inclusive concerning salvation and the invitation for all to accept Christ, right? And not being exclusive concerning our local and church polity, politics, and politics that happens every day in what is supposed to be God's house of worship. We are God's people and the sheep of God's pasture. And like sheep, we find ourselves sometimes becoming lost. Like sheep, we find ourselves going astray. Like sheep, we find under shepherds, meaning the pastors and leaders, causing hurt and harm to the very sheep, and vice versa, the very sheep causing harm to the sheep that are called to be under shepherds as well. And so we realize that we have to always keep our focus on God. Like sheep, we find leaders and hirelings who are wolves disguised as sheep amongst the sheep, causing harm to the sheep. We find sheep on sheep crime. We find confusion and delusion, drama and trauma within the place where imperfections can and should be safely worked out and worked on. We've heard repeatedly that the church is just like a hospital where those who are sick can be healed and made whole. But it's also true, however, that the church is becoming more like a cemetery where people who are coming to get healed and helped and become whole are dying a slow death, or are the walking dead, because their needs are not being met, but only the needs and desires of a few. We want to talk about that tonight. For truly the Lord is my shepherd. The first part I want to drop on you right now is the Lord, period. You can just stop right there. That is enough right there. For in Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd." Never read the Bible too fast, right? Just the first line, "the Lord," and the first two words, "the Lord." Lord is all capitalized, meaning capital L-O-R-N-D, all capitalized. And so that means that it is a personal relationship, God. It's not just a God that my mama told me about and Big Mama and Big Papa, them. It's not just somebody that I say, like the man upstairs. You can tell someone's maturity or not yet maturity based on how we talk about God, how we talk about Christ, even how we talk about the Holy Spirit. And some people will say, oh, you know, it's the man upstairs. God is so not a man, or just a man, just a human. God is not just a woman, though God is mother of nature and father of time. God is so much more than that. So no, God is not the man upstairs, and we should not relegate to God such small wrappings as humans, not talking about men, just humans. And so we can understand more and more that the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, means that it is Jehovah, the one to whom I have a personal relationship. And when we do have that personal relationship with the Lord, all caps, then we know it is beyond religion. It is a relationship based on whether I am active within a church body, meaning a place of worship, or if I'm inactive but still active with my relationship with Christ. Did you just hear pastor say you can actually have an active relationship with Christ without going to church? Yes, you absolutely can. And yes, we are to go to church. But we all go through seasons and times where we have to listen to where God wants us to be where God needs us to be, as well as where God does not want us to be. What does that mean? I'm going to tell you as soon as I get back, because some of you are walking in those places right now, in a place that you keep going to back and forth over and over again, and you keep getting more and more destitute. You keep getting more and more of a drought within your spirit. You keep feeling that not only are you not growing anymore, but that you are becoming desolate, like a tombstone area. We're going to talk about why that feels that way and what that typically means sometimes. Stay with us right here on Standing in the Gap with Pastor Monica. You know, around the midnight hour, we're still going to have Miss Dorothy, I heard you. We're still going to have our ha ha hallelujah healing through laughter as we listen to some comedy clips together and get to laugh together. And so we look forward to that time. Right now, we're going to hear another song called Without You by Miss Maurette Brown Clark, one of my favorites. It's from her How I Feel CD. Stay with us right here. The number is 904-296-2251. We'll be right back after this song on Standing in the Gap.
How could I ever make it without you? Sometimes I wonder, whatever would I do if I didn't have your mercy, your undeserved favor? Oh Lord, don't leave me, I'd be lost without you. Sometimes I wonder, whatever would I do if I didn't have your mercy? Oh Lord, Lord, I know I don't deserve your favor, don't deserve it. Oh Lord, don't leave me, I'd be lost without you.
Without You by Morette Brown Clark. And this is Standing in the Gap with Pastor Monica here tonight, every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday night from 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. The number to call in live for your prayer requests as well as praise reports to share those with us on or off air is 904-296-2251, 904-296-2251. As we talk tonight about when church hurts, meaning when church people are hurt by church people, and we're talking about what it means to be the church. The church is the body of Christ, established by humans based on Christ, Christ self, Christianity, all of that, that name that we have for those who are Christians. Now, denominations are a part of what we as humans decided to do. It's nothing, you're not going to see anywhere in the Bible where Jesus speaks about denominations. Actually, Jesus wanted us to be one whole body of Christ, and we have decided to segment ourselves into different denominations and somehow to still be a part, all a part of the body of Christ. Religion is how we exercise what we believe as far as our relationship with Christ. It's how we work out how we do our faith, the things that we do, the rituals, the rites of passage, the ceremonies, the celebrations that we do. That's all a part of religion. And of course, there always has to be some order so that we can always give God the best of us, because God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit always works in order and decency as well, right? And so definitely we created the church with good intentions, and Christianity, of course, with good intentions. The problem is that now our good intentions are not necessarily God's intentions. And that's where we have a disconnected time. Some of the times when I mentioned this before, when I'm at a church and dealing with the church and working with the church and being just a part for a small amount of time or even for a long amount of time, God always shows me, too much. He's checking me right now because I wanted to say too much information, but I need to know what he's showing me. But he shows so much information. I'll say it that way, Lord, so quickly. So much behind the scenes stuff that I don't even want to know about. And so much of the insecurities and the egos of those who look very strong in public, that we all have something. We have our issues. We have our hangups. We have our humanness that comes out. We have issues popping up like tissues. We have overly controlling leaders. We have biological family dysfunction intertwining within the church roots. You've been to a church or know somebody at a church. If you're not at a church yourself where the biological family has such a hold within the church, either they were a part or did start that church, or they became a very crucial part of it and have now taken over in ways that aren't healthy. We're here to pray about it. Remember, not to judge it, but to face the truth, because that truth can make us free. We have issues of people not used to power, people not used to titles and being thrust immaturely into positions of power over others. It's some of the training that we have received from other people who were before us, other leaders, other priests, other dioceses, other Vatican members. This is, again, beyond religion. So that's why I'm trying to be very inclusive of whether it's Muslim or Gentile or Protestant or Christian, as far as Baptist or Southern Baptist or Methodist or AME or Episcopalian or Presbyterian or Pentecostal or Full Gospel or Four Gospel or Mennonite or Reformist. I told you when we do this, we could do this all day. That's just off the top of this dome, of this brain that God has given me, because there's so many of us, and I thank God for giving me opportunity to preach and to teach and to be a part of a lot of different religions as far as bodies of Christ, so that I could have the understanding in how to always simply present Christ. Amen. And so when we talk about the church, we have issues like that. People not used to power, meaning that they've never been entrusted with power before. And the power is not just from people. It is from people. People give those who are in Christian leadership instant power and trust, sometimes even when we don't deserve it at all. And even when we have our own intentions at times that are not good. And so, but there's also that hiccup, but there's also the challenge of the power that God allows to flow through us. Sometimes we get caught up. Some of us get caught up in wanting to own that. That's why we have to keep reminding ourselves that, you know, this is your glory, God. I don't want an ounce of God's glory. Okay, that was a good sermon, you think so? Okay, to God be the glory for that. You know, thank people, because some people get irritated. You won't take a thank you. You can thank people for saying they appreciated your effort without it becoming a vanity issue. So we can say thank you because they took the time to encourage us. But ultimately, we know that we are also thanking God. For truly no good word can come out unless it's from the Lord. No good word can be preached or taught unless it's the word. No good word can happen as authentically and as impactingly as it should happen unless God is the one who actually called, kept, and maintain and prepare that person to do so directly as well as through others. I say that too because we have a lot of people who are trying to stand as ministers of the gospel of Christ, and as the word says that the we were called and sent, and some, and I hear a couple of my fathers in ministry also say some were not called, they just went. And so we see that more and more because there seems to be some type of glamorization that we see, or some type of celebrityism that we see. I guess some people are looking at, you know, people like T.D. Jakes and how God has blossomed that ministry, and Joel Osteen and Juanita Bynum and some of the other sisters and women and men and brothers in gospel, and think that that just happened either overnight, or that that could be them, or they could be, you know, on TV, or they could be around the world. It takes a lot of sacrifice. And so to God be the glory for how he has blessed their ministries. I cannot imagine what they had to go through to even get to where they are. You know, with every glory that we see, there's a story behind it for a person. With every type of testimony that we see, there are some things that they went through and some tests and some trials to get to that place of triumph. So that's why that's a good way to keep yourself humble instead of God having to humble you, because truly we all go through something. This ministry of the gospel of Christ, to preach and teach it, is one of God's ministry. It is not the only one. So I say that also so we can stop doing this earthly hierarchy, okay? When someone comes to me and say, I'm called, and I ask them very specifically, and the first thing a lot say, not all, but a lot will say, is I'm called to the ministry. The ministry. Which ministry? I'm called to preach. Like, that is the ultimate ministry. Every ministry, a part of God's ministry, God's business, is very important, vital, and needed for the body of Christ. So if you're called to the ministry, yes, let me know if that's the parking ministry or the preaching ministry, because both are just as important. Those who are doing transportation and picking people up to get them to worship, those who are ushering in as ushers the good spirit of God and ushering out the badness that's not supposed to be there, those who are faith sharers who are sharing and evangelizing, those who are stewards of the church and making sure that the church and the church grounds are clean inside and out. All of these are just as important. These are other ways of preaching without preaching. These are other ways of reaching without standing behind a podium. So be very specific in what you are called. And I hope you have, and most I know you do, have great pastors who will let you know that, yeah, being a part of the gospel of Jesus Christ in any kind of way, choir, director, singer, musician, whatever it is, Sunday school teacher, all are so important and vital to the body of Christ. And so what we mean by what we say when church people hurt, that yes, first of all, we get hurt by our own ideals about what church is. And the truth is that church now is compared to what Christianity is. And the truth is that Christianity and being Christ-like are not exactly the same as they should be. We'll talk about that when we get back. So far, we've talked about the Lord, and I want you to take from it that the Lord, all capitalized, means that God is my provider, because God truly does provide, right? That's reason enough right there to give God some praise. And that is reason enough that we're going to hear That's Reason Enough by Bishop Paul S. Morton Sr. Stay with us right here. This is Standing in the Gap with Pastor Monica. We are talking about when church hurts, when it just hurts in ways that it shouldn't hurt, when it just hurts in ways that are simply growing pains, when it just hurts and we want to know how to keep working for Jesus. The number to call in here is 904-296-2251. I would love to hear your voice and your own prayer request for yourself or someone else, as well as your own praise report. Stay with us right here. This is Praise 107.9.
On my back ain't reason enough. There's someone with clothes much finer than mine. The house that I dwell in ain't reason enough. My neighbor has one bigger than mine. The shoes on my feet will soon fade away. The food on my table may not last through the day, but salvation will last always. That's reason enough, dear Lord, to give you praise. Money I got ain't reason enough. There is someone with much more than I. That new car that I'm driving ain't reason enough. It will soon go out of style. This body of mine will soon pass away. The hair that I have is already turned gray. But salvation will last always. Reason enough, dear Lord, to give you praise.
Praise you, Lord, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise you, Lord, glory to
you pray.
money in the bank, cars in the driveway, I've got a house I can claim, clothes in my closet, I've got a bed for my head, shoes for my feet, I've got breath in my body. And if I was just anybody, I'd say it's all good, but I know better, it's all God, but I know better, it's all God. I've got friends I can call when I need help, I got family when I fall to pick me up, I've got a bed for my head, shoes for my feet, I've got breath in my body, and if I was just anybody, I'd say, it's all good,
it's all good,
but I know better,
oh,
it's all God, but I know better, it's all God,
it's all God.
Bible says in Psalm 27 and 13, David said, I had fainted lest I had believed to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. And what we come to understand and know, that even when it doesn't look good, it works for the good to all those that are called according to his purpose. Help me say,
it's all good,
it's all God,
it's all God,
everything going on in my life,
it's all good,
and it's all God,
it's all God,
had a few hills to climb,
it's all good,
oh, 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 oh,
it's all God,
I don't know what you face tonight,
it's all good, oh, my,
but I know it's all God.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Yes, sirs, I should say. That is It's All God. That's by the Soul Seekers. You heard of the Soul Seekers before, right? If you haven't, that is definitely them. That's Teddy and Warren and Nissan and John, known as Jubu, and Gerald and Charlie and Craig and Eric. That's the lead single from that project they had on My Block Records, the Soul Seekers album or CD. And that came out about 6-7 years ago. And so that, of course, was featuring the one and only Bishop Marvin Winans. You're listening to Standing in the Gap with Pastor Monica here. And before that, we heard That's Reason Enough by Bishop Paul S. Morton. So those two went well together. We are listening to the message from God about when church hurts. When church people are hurt by church people, what should we do? Should we swing on them? I'm sorry. I tried to say that with a straight face. No, that's the answer to that. Should we clap back on them? Should we clap on them? Should we tell them off? Should we embarrass them on Facebook? Should we send out anonymous emails about their dirt or what we think is their dirt? No, 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 and no. What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to focus on the fact that Psalm 23 reminds us that the Lord is my shepherd, not my church member, not my pastor, not my bishop, not my nun, not my priest. The Lord is my shepherd, not myself. Lord have mercy, if I had to lead me, that'd be a hot mess right there. And so we just talked about the Lord, first of all, in that one pericope, that one line, that the Lord reminds us that L-O-R-D is all capitalized. That is personal. That is provider. We also know that the Lord is. That's the next part I want to talk about right now. That is in perpetual perfect present tense. Why? Because the Lord always is. If you stay with me now, if you look back to your past and ask the Holy Spirit to show you some things in your past with spiritual insight, you will see that the Lord is in your past. Not was, always is. What do you mean? Those times when you almost talked yourself with the help of Satan into killing yourself. If you look very closely, you'll see that the Lord is present in that. And why not just was? Because when we do look back on things in our lives and allow God to show us where God was, where God is, that God reminds us of the lesson and reminds us of the triumph of overcoming it over it, rather than what Satan wants us to do, to be reminded of how we fail, how low we fell, and remind us of just how traumatic things were. And so the Lord is, will show you the lesson that you have to hold on to even now. What does that mean? When that person who is facing a real negative diagnosis right now, God bless you, and we're praying for you as well, God will show you that we've been through this before. When you had a really, really worse prognosis, I got you through that. I'm going to get you through this, because I am still who I was and I am who I'm going to be, because I am always is. The Lord is your shepherd, not just was, no matter what you go through. And no matter, and another thing that teaches us and reminds us, thank you, Holy Spirit, is that when we do some things that fall short of the glory of God, as God said we would, we put degrees on and we feel bad about ourselves, and we let shame in and guilt in, act as though that the Lord is no longer my shepherd. That's just not true. The Lord is our shepherd. The Lord is always in relationship with us. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing, not principalities, not powers yet to come or that are right now. Nothing, not the things that I do, not the pathetic things that other people do, not the pitiful things that I do or allow to myself. There's nothing that will stop God from being your present day shepherd, than being Lord in your life. So the Lord is provider. The Lord is perpetually present, and the Lord is mine. That's very important, because that means you have a personal connection. You have signed up for Jesus Christ. And when you do, Jesus Christ suits you up and sharpens you up for this thing called spiritual warfare. my personal relationship. Why is that important? Because you have a personal relationship with the Almighty God, the creator of all things, the creator of all good things, and the creator of you. So there's a certain time when we go through ministry, even as an associate minister or as a lay person going through the process of ministry and becoming a preacher, teacher, counselor. That's how God called me initially. With my own pastors and leaders, there are still some things that God does directly that they can't do, and that they shouldn't do, as well as that they're just not able to do, because God is the only one who calls you, and God will keep reminding you of that, that I'm the one who called you. I say that because we get a lot of prayer requests, and I get a lot of people who are being counseled now through our discipleship for discipleship, and they are coming as sheep who felt like they were lost, or sheep who others felt like they were going astray, when really they were just leaving because God made it perfectly clear to leave a place where they were, because the abuse that they endured was not of God, and the leaders who were there were not doing anything to correct it. The maltreatment was not of God. The inappropriate sexual treatment, advances that were on them, men and women, not just women, were not of God, and the persons were not doing anything to address it or to improve. And so they were being misused in ways for a person's personal gain, and not necessarily even the ministry of God or that person's ministry from God. And so we have to remember to keep people in our place. Keep us, me, other pastors, keep us in our right place. For those who are pastoring and doing it hardcore and sincerely and earnestly, there's way more who are doing it than not doing it. God bless you so much, and we pray for you daily without ceasing, because it is a hard cross to carry, and God has equipped you to carry it. As only God can. So we thank you for your sacrifices, for all of those who are spouses to them. I know some of the language for some of us is first lady or first spouse, because there are some men who are spouses to pastors. Hello, everybody, to women who are pastoring. And so I want to stick to the language that God gives me, not the earthly stuff, because it has this earthly hierarchy attached to it that has nothing to do with God. And that causes some of the conflict in the body of Christ. And so for those who are doing it, who are spouses, husbands and wives, and the children who are the children of those who are preaching, teaching and pastoring this gospel and helping out in any way, we just thank you so much for standing in the gap for us all the time between God and God's people with us. And we thank you for letting us stand in the gap for and with you as well. So we're going to keep on praying on your behalf. So the Lord Provider is perpetually present, my personal. We're going to talk about the last two after we get to, you know what time it is. Ha ha ha, hallelujah. Wait a minute. Ooh, I just took a look at who's next, and it's Sinbad. And so we're going to hear, speaking of preaching and being the child of a preacher, as some of you are, we're going to come from his CD, Son of a Preacher Man. And we're just going to hear the beginning of this set, which is about a total of about 8.5 minutes long. So stay with us right here. My microphone is on purpose so I can listen in and laugh in with you as well. And if I have to tell you something, but I'm not looking at a live video. This is from one of my music apps, and so I'm listening to it also, but it's pretty easy to understand. He does a couple of things that would require a seeing him, but he also verbalizes it, so it's good. You know, I listen to everything before I give it to you and make sure it's right. So let's listen to Sinbad as he was in Denver. This is around 2012 on the Son of a Preacher Man. Okay, here we go.
In Denver, live at the Paramount Theater, is Sinbad in his HBO special.
How y'all doing? good. Good to see you out here. How y'all doing in the balcony? What's up? All right. I'm going to tell y'all something right now. This woman that made my clothes spent a lot of money, but I'm about to burn up on the stage trying to wear this leather. So I'm going to show it to y'all one time. This is it. Now I'm going to take it off because I'm about to burn up. No, don't let them in here come in late. No, no, go back outside. No, no, they don't get seats. No, 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 no. No, where y'all coming from? Like you had somewhere to go in Denver. Man, it's good to be back here. I tell you, it's wild coming back to Denver. I went to college out here. Yeah, I went to college. Yeah. 4 of the worst years of my life. I went to the University of Denver. 4 black people. 4 black people. Did she go? Oh, you go to the University of Denver? You 5 then. You going to school there now? What year are you in school?
I'm a first year law, a second year law.
Second, you don't even know where you at. Hold up. It's a test. I know it. See, DU took your mind, didn't it? You didn't even know. Just walk around with books.
I don't know what I'm doing. I'm in school. That's all I know.